Morning. Today's daf is Chaf in Krisis. We are on Yitzes Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud. We almost got to the two dots yesterday. Not quite. We are just about there, but let's back up. Mishnah yesterday taught us the following. A person has Chel Venosa in front of them. Both are Isuri Kares. Both, if eaten Bishogig, would be subject to a Chiv Chatas. And you ate one of the two. You don't know which one of the two you ate. So here's what you know. You violate Nisr Kares. You did so b'shogeg. Here's what is subject to a machlokis. Are you chayv a karban chatas? Rabbi Elazar says you are, and Rabbi Yeshua says you are pater. As far as the shita's Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, so we learned yesterday that behind Rabbi Yeshua is the idea that in order to be chayv a karban chatas, not only do you have to violate Nisr Kares, but you have to know which Nisr Kares that you violated. The pasuk that he darshan yesterday is Asher Chata Ba, that which you sinned in. The word Ba means it. And Ash Ivade Lo B'machata. You have to know exactly how you sinned. Now, as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, he also acknowledges the pasuk, and he recognizes that the pasuk is open for a drasha. What drasha does he learn from that pasuk? The drasha of Misasik. Now, the drasha of Misasik, which is going to be pretty much the totality of today's daf, is the drasha that if I violate an Isser, and I for sure violated the Isser, the only question is that was I intent on doing it? Now, the cases of Shogeg throughout all of Shas, and here we're learning Krisos, so now's the time to talk about it. The case of Shogeg is where I know exactly what I was doing, I just don't know exactly all the circumstances surrounding it. So in other words, I violated Shabbos, but I forgot it was Shabbos, or I forgot that was Usher, but I knew exactly what I was doing. Misasek is where there was a gap between what my intention was and what I actually did. So you were not synchronized, you were not coordinated between your thought and your actual process. Rashi yesterday by Misasa gave a number of examples. I'm going to go through the two examples of Rashi again, as it really is fundamental for our entire discussion today. It's the top Rashi in New Testament Beis. That's a funny way to start the daf, but it's a great way to just reacquaint ourselves with the idea of Misasa. Kigon. So it was Rashi example number one is that there was Chelev and Shuman in front of you. Chelev is Aser, Shuman is Mutter. And your intent was to eat Shuman. Now what you do is you got distracted, right? We know about that, and you looked elsewhere. And what your hand did is your hand reached out to the chalev and you grabbed the chalev. So under those circumstances, that's an example of misasek. There is no carbon requirement under those circumstances. Inami, Rashi gives a second example, which is going to be even a bigger chiddush. Chalev v'chalev v'afanav. There were two pieces of chalev in front of him. V'savr shehu shuman. Now, he thought that one of the pieces was Shuman. Okay. Now, what he was intent on doing was eating the piece that he thought was Shuman, even though it really wasn't. It was Chalev. And instead, he ate rather the other piece. Now, neither of these cases are similar to the classic example of Shogeg. The Shogeg Hanishin is Kavla Chate Chazu Atzma. Aval Saver Shu Shuman. Shogeg is where I wanted that particular piece. I went for that piece. I just thought it was Shuman. I didn't realize it was Chalev. Here, you thought it's almost identical. You thought it was Shuman, and meanwhile it was Chalev, but you reach for the piece, you reach for another piece. So when you have a gap, a disagreement between your intent and your action, so so that's not even Shogeg, that's what's called Misasek. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Misasek is going to be Pater. Now, the truth of the matter is that Rabbi Yeshua agrees to a certain degree. And over the course of this daf, we're going to talk about the degrees in which Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rabbi Eliezer or may deviate from the position of Rabbi Eliezer. But meanwhile, this is a very fundamental idea that comes up in the daf. We started with it yesterday. Let's continue with it today. So the Gemara says that the Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the idea of Misasek. We're going to start from the very top line on your testament base. We did this yesterday, but we got caught right in the middle of a thought. Misasik demai. The Gemara says, which misasik? Eid de chalav v'arayis chayev dam Rav Nachman. Amr Shemuel misasik b'chalav v'arayis chayev. Misasik as it relates to chalav and arayis is not going to be exempt from a carbon. Otherwise stated, you're chayev a carbon by chalav v'arayis. Shikei nana. Now the Gemara over here gives us the formulation, the svara, and that is because you're getting hana. When you're eating chalav, when you are engaged in the iser of arayis, there's a benefit. There is a human benefit that you receive from it, and therefore, it is not going to override the patur of misasek. Now, why exactly? So the Gemara says, because you're getting hana. But that also needs more refinement, more svara in terms of so what? So you're getting hana, but you weren't. That wasn't your intention. You didn't want to do that. By the way, see Rashi. I won't go through it. I didn't go through it yesterday either. See Rashi where he gives examples of being masasik ba'arayos. But they're going to be very similar to the Rashi by Chalev. So it's Rashi right alongside where we are in the Gemara. In the meantime, so the Gemara says, so the Ptur of Misasik doesn't apply to Chalev and it doesn't apply to Arayos. And now we have in our Gemara the word V'i. So, but let's correct that, amend it to the word Ela. Ela Misasik b'Shabbos, Pater. So we're talking about the Misasik by Shabbos. So my time of Lach is Machshev HaSasra Torah. Now by Shabbos, you have another consideration why there's going to be a Ptur Misasik, and that's because of Malachas Machshevas. We know that on Shabbos there's this overarching idea that to violate Shabbos, to successfully violate Shabbos, is not the kind of success we want. But to successfully violate Shabbos, so you have to do the action, you have to do the malacha, but with intentionality, with very clear intentionality. Once there's no intention in doing the malacha, so it's not going to be a malacha. And as a result of this, so many concepts in Shabbos that come up as a totzah, as a result of this idea that you need Malachas Machshevas. One of them being, of course, our topic of Misasik. So, now what exactly does Misasik look like on Shabbos? So the Gemara is going to have a slight debate between Rav and Abaye, what Misasik looks like. Now, according to Rav, the definition of Misasik would look like this on Shabbos. Let's say you wanted to cut on Shabbos, you saw a cucumber on the ground, you thought it was detached. So what you're doing now is you're looking to cut a detached cucumber, and meanwhile, oops, the knife went and it cut a cucumber that was attached. But that wasn't your intent at all. Your intent was on cutting something that was detached. So that would be an example of misasik, and according to Rava, there'd be a petur karban. Now, as
cutting
I point...
Cutting is not a good word. Though.
Huh?
Cutting is not a good word.
You mean
if you thought it was detached...
Yeah.
So you
okay.
Wouldn't have an intention.
I understand, but you would do.
No, because later on it's
well, you'll see. Right. That's a buy. That's a buy's pshat.
Yeah. So maybe.
No, but you'll see. The Gemara is very clear that there was a chituch intention, but the chituch intention was just simply that I don't know you wanted to cut it up maybe a little bit smaller, whatever the case may be. As I mentioned yesterday, is such an action mutter? So as I mentioned yesterday, the question is a little strange because we're not asking in terms of whether you can or cannot do it. What we're really asking is there a chi of carbon or is there no chi of carbon? Meaning we're talking about where there was a disconnect between what you wanted to do and what you actually did. So under those circumstances, you can't say is that mutter, that's called human error. Human error is not something where it's mutter, it's us, it's just simply human error and just a question now of am I chayav a carbon chatas? Now, for Abaye, Misasek, there has to be more of a disconnect. Meaning what you wanted to do is you wanted to be Magbiya, you just simply wanted to pick it up, and meanwhile, you cut. Now, the Gemara goes through this, Machlok, Trin, Abaye, and Rav, and Niskavan, Lagbiya, as Hatalosh, Vechatach, as Mechubar, Pater, my time at the Halo, Vechavan, Lashum, Chaticha. According to Abaye, if your intention was to pick something up, and meanwhile you cut mechubar, well, you didn't even have intention of cutting. Now, what if your intention was to cut something which was detached? At least in your head, you thought it was detached, and meanwhile mechubar was connected. Abaye amar chayav da'ay chav l'shem chaticha, and Rav amar pater da'alo chav l'chaticha di'isura. A machlok between Abaye and Rav whether or not this would fall under the category of misase. Abaye says it does not. Because your intention was to cut. What did you do? You cut. And so therefore, even though you were a little bit off in your mindset, because you thought it was detached, meanwhile it was attached, but still, there was an intent of chituch, you did chituch, and so therefore, you are a chayv of carbon, assuming that it's a case of shogeg. According to Rava, Rava says that this would be an example of misasik, because even though it was your intention to cut, but it was your intention to cut heter, not Isser, and so therefore Rava says this qualifies under the category of Misasik. Yeah.
Would it make a difference? He had an intention to pick, and he thought it was already cut, just to pick it up?
Yeah. Same basic idea.
No, but picking up is not melocha, and cutting is a melocha.
That's true. Certainly. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yossi, Amar lo nechlikum. Tanya, Amlam Rabbi Yossi, digdakta macharai. go back to the Mishnah and take a look at the back and forth. Rav Yossi, in his understanding of the Machlokes, Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua. The Mishnah is very layered. If you go back to yesterday's daf, you'll remember. The Mishnah first brought down the basic machlokes in Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yeshua. In a case where there's chilev and oser in front of you, you eat one of those two pieces. You don't know which one you ate. Are you chayv a karban chatos? So we had a machlokes at Tanaim. Rebbe Elazar says you're chayv, Rebbe Yeshua says you're potter. On that, Amar Rebbe Yossi, so that's layer number one. Layer number two, lo nechluku ala osem alacha ben ashmasha shi potter, shani omer, mixas asayom, u mixas asar lamachar. Oh, and he goes on to other examples as well. I could just read it. Oh, Allah osa v'inu yudeh me'in eze malacha asa. Sure, Rabbi Lazar mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. So Rabbi Yossi on the machlokes, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua puts in the following qualifier. They can't be debating where you did a malacha b'in hashmashos. They can't. Why? Because Bein HaShmashos is Safek Yom, Safek Laila. In this twilight period, we don't know, is it the end of the previous day or the beginning of the new day? And that's exactly the point of Bein HaShmashos. We don't know. But if I do a malacha in that period in time, so Rav Yossi says there can't possibly be a debate. In order to be subject to a Chiyuv Chatas, you have to have done a malacha. Your show gig was you weren't aware. You weren't aware that it was Asr, you weren't aware that it was Shabbos, you weren't aware that it was Yom Kippur, but you must have done a malacha. If I were to do a malacha during Bein HaShmashos, between 2 days, one being Shabbos and the next day being Yom Kippur, so now, you know what's included, you know what's baked into the Safek? I may not have done a malacha altogether. Because consider, a malacha will take some time, whatever that unit of time is, it could very well be that I did part of the malacha on Shabbos, and I did part of the malacha in Yom Kippur. We're in Bein HaShmashos, so that is a real possibility. And so therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar would not be arguing about such a scenario. Everyone would agree you'd be potter. The Gemara over here does a little bit of commentary on this part of the Mishnah. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Amar Lam Rabbi Yossi, Dikdaka Macharai. So in this Braisa, very short, succinct, Rabbi Yossi says back to the Chachamim, Dikdaka Macharai, you've investigated me. Okay, that's not clear. What exactly did he mean by that? My Amri lay. The Amri lehu dikdak de macharai. How did the rest of that dialogue go? For what did they say to Rabbi Yossi that he said dikdak de macharai? Hachi Amru lay. He could be a Bein HaShmashos mahu. What if you picked up during the Bein HaShmashos? Amri lehu dikdak de macharai. So he said, ah, oh, you got me. Now, what did all that mean? V'neima lehu, and the Gemara continues to pursue this braisa and try to understand it. Why doesn't he just say to them, "Mixas akbay samayom, or mixas lamacher," like I got done explaining in the Mishnah? Rav Yossi's response is, in this example of Bein HaShmashos, could very well be that part of the malacha was done during the day, meaning you hit the Bein HaShmashos period, which really concluded the day, and the second half of the malacha now is the beginning of Yom Kippur. Hachinami kamer lehu. So the Gemara says that's exactly what he says, is saying to them. Tikdak demacharei velo ha'leisim yedchem klom. That is what he's saying. He says that you guys investigated me, you challenged me, but let me tell you something. You didn't get me. Meaning, in the case of Bein HaShmashos, I'm right. Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Elazar would not be debating such a scenario because of the possibilities of Bein HaShmashos. One of them is you did half the malach on Shabbos and the other half the malach on Yom Kippur. Ula Rabbi Yossi, Gemar Malach, Le Rabbi Elazar, Potter. Now, the Gemara asks a side question on Rav Yossi. You know that for Rabbi Eliezer, you're not only going to be chai for doing a malacha, but you're also going to be chai for doing gemar malacha. Now, generally speaking, we describe this as makeh bepatish. It could be that that's what the Gemara is making reference to over here, or it could be just simply an overarching idea of gemar malacha. When you finish a malacha, it doesn't have to be necessarily the idea of makeh bepatish, but if you do the conclusion of any given malacha, according to Rabbi Lazar, you would be chayiv. How do I know that? Because Hashemin alei demechayiv didnan. We're going to go to a Mishnah. We just seen this Mishnah recently. Rabbi Eliezer omer ha'orig shlosha chutim betchila ve'echad al ha'arig chayiv. Weaving. Weaving on Shabbos. So if you're starting the weaving process, so it has to be three threads. But let's say you already have a beged and you're weaving into the beged. So it's only one thread woven into the beged in order to be chayiv. Va'am Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Hachi Masni. I'm sorry, that's already the answer. Before we get to the answer. So what do you see over here? That in the act of weaving for Rabbi Eliezer, Doing the act of weaving from the beginning requires three threads. But if I already have a garment and I'm just adding one thread, I'm going to be chayiv. Why? One thread is not three. One thread is the gemar malacha. And that's why, according to Rabbi Elazar, you're going to be chayiv. So the gemar is bothered. Look, you're svar within Rabbi Elazar over here, Bein HaShmashos. As long as you're doing the gemar malacha, that should be enough to incur a liability. So I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Alibet, Rabbi Elazar HaChimasne. So the gemar says, well, Rav Yosi had a different version of Rabbi Eliezer, not the one you just quoted. Slightly different, but it's really going to make all the difference. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Ha'arik, Shlosha Chutim, Betchil V'Shnaim, Ala Arik Chayev. In his version, Rabbi Eliezer says regarding weaving, if I'm starting from scratch and I'm weaving now, Yesh Me'ayin, just, you know, starting from zero, so there has to be three threads. Otherwise, the construction is not kavua, it's not permanent, and it's not going to be a malacha. But if you already have a garment, so how many threads do you have to put on? Two. If his girsa would have been one, so then you're right. That would have been an idea of gemar malacha. But his girsa was not one, his girsa was two. Meaning that baked into the malacha of ariga is the idea that as long as you have a garment, so then the malacha will be violated even if you had on two. Not because that's the gemar malacha, but because two is rather the actual act of oreg. It's the act of weaving. So then if you subscribe to this version, which Rav Yossi does, so then there isn't this idea of gemar malacha as it relates to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, and now we're good. We're good for Rabbi Yossi.
Would Rabbi Eliezer agree if somebody wrote one and a half letters and the second person comes and finishes the second?
Right, that he's that. Right, that's a good question. Okay, I don't know. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Pocher. Hi, Rabbi Yoshua. Af Miashem Talui. Rabbi Yehuda says that you would be that Rabbi Yoshua would exempt even from an Asham Talui. Meaning that this exemption, Rabbi Yoshua, where you don't know what the Avera was. You know there was an Avera, but you don't know which one it was. Not only does it create an exemption for a Chatos, but Hashem Talu as well. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Pocher, Ayah, Rabbi Yoshua, Af, Hashem Talu, Shenemer, Kisechata, Velo Yada. Prat Lezeh, Shiyada, Shechata. So, Rabbi Yehuda's response, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Ptur even comes from an Hashem Talu. The Gemara learns that from a Drasha. The Pasuk, as it describes Hashem Talu, he says, he did a sin, v'lo yada. This would exclude the scenario where she yada shechata, he sinned. Now, this is not the, this is obviously the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Amala Rabbi Shimon zeh shemevi ashem tali shenemer v'asa v'lo yada, v'zet lo yada b'me asa. Ava safik achal chelev, safik alo achal, tse v'shal alav, im mevi ashem tali im lav. So, the Gemara quotes the rest of the Braisa, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you can ascertain whether or not he violated the Avera, then and only then he'd be chayiv and Hashem Talui. My Havi Allah Tashma, the Gemara would like a little more clarity on the matter. Gemara quotes another Braisa, Chatav lo yadam v'mechata, person sinned, but he doesn't know which sin he did. Oh, safik chata, safik lo chata, or maybe he didn't sin at all. Meaning there are two scenarios in this Braisa. One, the scenario of Chela v'Shuman. They're both also, he doesn't know which one he ate. Two, the scenario of Chela v'Shuman. Chela v'Shuman, one is Asur and the other is Mutter, and he doesn't know which one he ate. In both of those cases, maybe Hashem Talui. He's going to have to bring an Hashem Talui. Right. Now, man shaman alei da'amar chata ve'in yadeh b'may chata, maybe Hashem Talui, Rabbi Shimon. Now, which one subscribes to the first scenario? That's obviously Rabbi Shimon. V'katani safik chata, safik lo chata, maybe Hashem Talui. Similarly, Rabbi Shimon also says that you're going to bring an Hashem Talui in the case of Chela v'Shuman. Shema minasvir le Rabbi Shimon, safik chata, safik lo chata, maybe Hashem Talui. The sheet of Rabbi Shimon is not just limited to the case of Chela v'Nosar, it would also apply to the case of Chela v'Shuman as well, in both cases in Hashem Talui. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Rabbi Shimon Armin lo Nechukum. Going back to now our Mishnah, turn back to the Amud Aleph, and take a look at the Mishnah, the layered Mishnah. So first again, the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, in the case of Chela v'Nosar. Rabbi Elazar said, in the case where you don't know which one you ate, but you ate one of the two, Rabbi Elazar says you're chayv karmen chatos, Rabbi Yeshua says you're potter. Then we went through the sheet of Rabbi Yossi looking for the qualifier of Benesh Mashos, which we already went through. Then the Mishnah brings in the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Yeshua would potter even from an Hashem Talui. And then the question that we just addressed is what would Rabbi Eliezer say regarding the Hashem Talui? And then Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omrim, the Mishnah continues and says, and this is another qualification of the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Lo nechleku al davar shu mishem echad shu chayav So a distinction to be made between Shemach and Beis Shemos. Yesterday when I read the Mishnah, so deliberately I left it undefined. What does that mean, Shemach Shnei Shemos? Yesterday, the truth of the matter is, I did skip Rashi. Rashi does give an example of what the Mishnah means by that, but we're going to wait for our Gemara, which we're going to see in just a moment. Rabbi Elazar mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Okay, that is the Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shizuri qualifying the Mishnah. The Gemara now discusses. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, Rabbi Shimon Omerim, lo nechluku imke matamalam asher chata prat lemasasek. So, what do we learn out from the word asher chata ba? So that comes to exclude misasek. So we're going to go back now and look over and review the issue of misasek. We saw this already. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Shmuel, misasek b'chalam v'rayas, chayv shekein nene. If a person is misasek on the isser of chalav or on the isser of v'rayas, even though misasek generally creates a petur karban, but not in the case of chalav and v'rayas because you're getting hana. Misasek b'shabbos patur malachas machshev asasur Torah. Similarly, if you're misasek on Shabbos, so that also is a petur because the Torah on Shabbos says malachas machshev asasur Torah. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman va'atinokos reb dechimis asik dame v'tzinan. So let's remind ourselves of the case of the tinokos. This is now the 19th parak of Shabbos. Mishayu shnei tinokos echad limol b'Shabbos va'echad limol achar haShabbos. Two babies were born. One was born on Shabbos. The other was born on Sunday. Obviously, the Shabbos baby's bris is on Shabbos. Sunday's baby's bris is on Sunday. And so now everyone's extraordinarily excited. We're going to have two milas back to back. Now, we all know the basic ground rules. The Shabbos baby's bris is to be done on Shabbos, and that's a mitzvah. Meaning, aside from the fact that there would be chilul Shabbos involved in making a chabura and making a wound in the baby, but yet the mitzvah is that Shabbos bezmana is going to be doche Shabbos. Sorry, I heard myself. Mila bezmana, thank you. Mila bezmana is going to be doche Shabbos. Mila shelo bezmana is not going to be doche Shabbos. So the Shabbos baby's bris is to be done on Shabbos. The Sunday baby bris is to be done on Sunday and not on Shabbos. Okay, so v'shachach umalat shel echad es achar Shabbos b'Shabbos. And what happens is everyone got really excited. The whole community got excited. And with all the confusion, so the mole took the Sunday baby and gave it a bris on Shabbos. So now, Rabbi Elazar mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Elazar says that you're chayv karban chatos, and Rabbi Yeshua says that you're going to be potter. Now let's consider over here. Ad kan lo potter Rabbi Yeshua l'mishum dekasev atah b'dvar mitzvah, v'lo asa mitzvah, potter. What is the basis for the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that you're going to be exempt? Exemption over here is not that you just simply made an error, but you were what's called in halacha toh b'dvar mitzvah. Meaning, the mole right now is trying to do not just a good thing, a mitzvah. And the mitzvah he's trying to perform is doing the Shabbos bris on Shabbos. Now, he got a little bit confused, and he did the Sunday baby. But he was toa b'dvar mitzvah, meaning the entire context of he has a knife, he's about to do a mila, he's doing so under the umbrella of, I'm about to do what I'm supposed to do. Now, a little bit of confusion, a little bit of mix-up. So for that toa b'dvar mitzvah, Rav Yeshua says, the Torah gives him a pass for bringing a karban chatas. But if it was a standard misasek, where there was no mitzvah context, do you think Rabbi Yeshua would give a pass under those circumstances? And that's exactly the Gemara's point. Ava misasek b'dvar delav mitzvah afilu Rabbi Yeshua mechayev. If it were standard misasek, so then Rabbi Yeshua would say that you'd be chayev. Amalei, so he says back to him as follows. Oh, it's a good question. It's really a good question. But he says to him, Amalei hanach l'tinokus, leave that Mishnah out of our discussion. Ho mekalka b'chabur chayev, misasek b'chabura chayev. You know it's true. If it's misasek b'chabur, you're going to be chayiv. And I know that goes against the entire principle of misasek as we've been introduced to yesterday and today. But we're talking specifically about the malach of chabur. Chabur is a rule breaker. Chabur is a rule breaker because what is chabur? Consider that chabur, generally speaking, is a kilkel. It's a destructive act. And yet, you're going to be chayiv. Now, this is subject to a debate, and we'll see more of it later. But you're going to be chayiv. And therefore, what do you see regarding the malacha of chaburah? Now, by the way, I keep saying the malach of chabura. You go through the 39 malachos, you're not going to find chabura in one of the 39. So it's obviously a subcategory of one of the other malachos. Not totally clear. I know this part's a little confusing. It's not totally clear which malacha it falls under. Which av malacha falls under. But let's say because it's certainly the case that it falls under one of the 39. So now, How do I know that it's a rule breaker? Because mikalka b'chabura is going to be chayev. What does that tell us regarding the malacha chabura? It doesn't subscribe to the overarching principle of malachas machsheves. If mekalka b'chabura is going to be chayev, so you know we say regarding mesastik b'chabura, that too is going to be chayev. So that's why you leave out the whole case of the tinokos, because that has to do with chabura, and mesastik b'chabura normally would be chayev. What about the Mishnah that says that Rabbi Yeshua says you're pater? That's because you're toa b'dvar mitzvah. So we now have an added argument to make in terms of why he's exempt. But without that, if we're just going baseline mesasek, you'd be chayev, but only by chabura. Eitzvei Rav Yehuda l'Shmuel, the Gemara challenges, Rav Yehuda challenges Shmuel from the following. Rav Yehuda amar afilim skamen loko te'enim v'liket anavim. The Mishnah brings the following scenario. Our Mishnah. Your intention was to pluck figs, and you instead pluck grapes. Or conversely, anavim v'liket te'enim. Shcharos v'liket levanos. You were going after black grapes or black figs, and meanwhile you went after the white. Levanos v'liket shcharos. In all these cases, so once again, there was a lapse between what you wanted to do and what you actually did. Right? Human error. So, Rabbi Lazar Mechayev Chatzos Rabbi Yeshua Poter. In such a scenario, we have a machlokas. Now, v'acha misasek hi. This is classic misasek, because there wasn't agreement between what you wanted to do and what you actually did. This is classic misasek. And what do we see over here? We see a debate between the Tanaim. Rav Yeshua namelo kapater ela min mina lemina. So, and the only reason Rav Yeshua has a patur in such a scenario is because you went from black to white. But if I went from black to black, even though that wasn't the black one that was interested, I wasn't interested in another black one, so presumably you would be chayiv even according to Rav Yeshua. And what happens now to the whole principle of mesasek? Ava b'chad mina afil Rav Yeshua mechayiv. So this is a challenge of Rabbi Yehuda to his Rebbe Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, had two Rebbeim, he had Rabbi and he had Shmuel. So this was his challenge to Shmuel. You're this big believer, Misasek. I'm telling you, the Mishnah seems to blow Misasek right out of the water. And the only time Rabbi Yeshua is going to have a Petur is only when the Masasek included Shnei Minim. But if it's Min Echad, then even Rabbi Yeshua says you're going to be Chayiv. What happened to Misasek? Amar Le Shinana. So he says back to his student Shinana. That was the term that Shmuel always used in referring to Rav Yehuda. Shvok Masisim Vesabas Rai. Leave the Mishnah and follow me. Meaning, let me take you down a different path. And the path I'm going to take you down is the following. The case over here is an extraordinarily specific case. Avad Malaket Belibo. The words literally translate as, he lost the plucking from his heart. Doesn't translate well into English. What it means is as follows. The Gemara goes on to explain. His original intent is that he wanted to do a likut on the grapes. So his original intent, his mission, if you will, I know it sounds really important because I'm calling it a mission, but his mission was to go after grapes. Now, so that was his original intent. V'shachach. And then what happened is that he forgot why he was there. Okay? So you're in a room. I don't know if it happens to you. It happens to me. And you forgot why you went into the room. Okay. V'savar te'enim be'inam. And now he's thinking, oh, you know what? I'm out in the field. That's right. I want the grapes. So in other words, but that's not really why he went there. He went there for the figs. V'hachiyado el anavim. And now his hand went, and his hand went towards the grapes. So the Rebbe Elazar savar hari nasa kavanaso. So Rebbe Elazar says yechayv karban chatos. Why naasase kavanaso? His original mission was to go get grapes, and ultimately he got grapes. Now, granted that by the time he was reaching for grapes, so in his mind he's like, oh yeah, figs. So and then he went to grab for the figs, and instead he went for the grapes. But Rebbe Elazar says, but under these circumstances, yechayv, because your original purpose for going was to get grapes. You ended up getting grapes. We have agreement between your original mission and what you actually did. And Rabbi Yehoshua Savra Hare Lo Nasa Kavanaso Umachshavaso. So no, in order to be Chayv Karban Chatzos, you have to have agreement between what you did and your Kavana and your Machshava. Kavana in this context means your original mission. Your Machshava, what you're currently doing right now. If you don't have agreement between those two points, between your original mission and your thought right now, and your action, so then there wouldn't be a Chayv Karban Chatzos. In other words, I know that case is extraordinarily complicated, but basically here's what Shmuel is saying to his student Rav Yehuda. If it's classic misasek, we have full agreement. You're going to be patur from a carbon. What's classic misasek? So I wanted to reach for the coffee, and instead I reach for my glasses. Right? And so when we have any kind of disagreement between what I want to do and what I actually did, so that's misasek. And there's a patur carbon. The case of our Mishnah between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, white figs, black figs, right? That's talking about a extraordinarily complicated scenario. That's not classic misasek. That's talking about a classic scenario where ultimately you did what you wanted, but at the time when you did it, so your machshava was off. In that scenario, we have a machlokus. But if it were classic misasek, everybody would say that you're putter. Mesa of Rav Oshia, as we are now on the top of Chafam and Aleph. Rabbi Shimon Shazur, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Lo Nechliku Al Davar Shuhu Mishim Echad. And now we're going to hit the end of the Mishnah. And now we're going to finally get a pshat in the end of the Mishnah. But the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is not seeking pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara now is quoting the Mishnah in the context of our discussion. So remember, Shmuel says that Kuli Alma, both Tanaim of our Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, subscribe to the principle of Misasek. And they both say you're putter. I, the Mishnah, in the case of the black figs, white figs, that's talking about a very specific case, right? The case of Avad Malakit Milibo. Fine. So now we are up to the next part of the Mishnah, and let's see if we could read this into the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Lo Nechluku Al Davar Shu Mishem Echad Shu Chayev, El Ama Nechluku Al Davar Shu Mishem Shnei Shemos. The debate is not with Shem Echad, the debate is with Shnei Shemos. Rabbi Lazar Mechayev Echatas, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Rabbi Lazar says you're Chayev Echatas, and Rabbi Yeshua says you're Poter. Okay, what are we talking about over here? What's Shem Echad? What's Shnei Shemos? And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda Maikamar, the Peligi ben Iskavin Lokot Anavim Lakatainim? And on top of that, what's Rabbi Yehuda's position? Meaning, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri are a response to Rabbi Yehuda. Where did Rabbi Yehuda start the discussion where now Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri are arguing on that position? So there's a lot of things in our Mishnah needing clarification. Rabbi Yehuda Maikamar, the Peligi ben Iskavin Lokot Anavim Lakatainim, Shchoros Velakat Levanos, Anavim Vitainim. Anavim v'teinim shchoros v'levanos. So, when we're talking about grapes and figs, when we're talking about black and white, my new shnei shemos. So that is shnei shemos. Hainu, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. And isn't that exactly what Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri is saying? Meaning, what's the debate in the Mishnah if shnei shemos really amounts to black figs versus white figs? That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda, my aselash mi'inan, elalav misasek ika benayu. So the Gemara right now is proposing that the entire difference between Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbi Shimon's, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, is all about Misasek. The Rabbi Yehuda's of Misasek Chayav, Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that Misasek is Chayav. I know that's not the pshat that we offered on the bottom of the previous Amud, but in lieu of the fact that there is a debate in our Mishnah, here's what we're proposing. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that Misasek is going to be Chayav, and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri is of Misasek Potter. And Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri are of the opinion that Misasek is Potter. Now, in of itself, that would be an acceptable pshat in the Mishnah. The problem is that this all goes back to Shmuel. Shmuel was arguing that in the case of Misasek, Leisman de Palik. No one's arguing. Misasek creates a ptur of Yerchi of Karban. But now, as we are going to the next layer of the Mishnah, the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Shimon's, what are they arguing about? L'chor, they're arguing about Misasek, but that makes Shmuel's position a compromised position. So the Gemara deflects. La Misasek Divrei Kol Potter. Everyone's of the opinion that Misasek is going to be Potter. And again, we're in defense of Shmuel. V'hacha v'hacha miflugi, the Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Savar. Now, the Girsah should be the Rabbi Shimon's. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, they're of the opinion, Savre. Shachach Malaki Malibo. B'shem Echa Divrei Kol Chayev. We're going now back to the case of Malaki Malibo. And again, just to construct the scenario. Malaki Malibo means that my original goal was to take one item. Let's call it A. And now I walk into the room and I just got so confused. And I think, I want B. And you reach for B. And now you grab A. So this is the case of Malaki Malibo. This is not classic Misasek. Classic Misasek is where I wanted A and I reach for B. That's classic Misasek. So here the complexity of my original mission was to go in and get A. And then when I go in, just, brain freeze. I think I want B, I reach for B and I get A. So here now is where we're going to have the debate between Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbi Shimon's. If it's a case of Shem Echad, if A and B are categorically the same, Devar HaKol Chayiv. Then it's going to be Chayiv. Now, let me put this into a scenario, and you see.
There's no A and B then.
There, yes, there is A and B. They just happen to be the same item. So the...
If the same item
In other words, the same type of item. So in other words, if there's, let's say there's one black grape and then there's another black grape. So I go in there and I say to myself, I want the A black grape. And I walk into the room and now, again, brain freeze. And now I'm thinking, I'm going to reach for the B black grape. And I end up getting the A. So under those circumstances, you're basically, this is where your point is. Your point is, what did you go in? What was your objective? Get a black grape. What did you do? You got a black grape. It happened not to have been the one that you originally wanted, but Shem Echad. It's one type. So everyone's in agreement, both Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer are going to be in agreement that you're going to be Chayev. Ki pligi b'shnei shemos. The debate's going to be Shnei Shemos, where A and B are two different types. Rabbi Yehuda sar v'lo shna b'shem Echad v'lo shna b'shnei shemos. Pligi. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if it's Shem Echad or Shnei Shemos, so there is still going to be a debate. Rava, I'm sorry, there's still going to be a debate. Meaning that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that just like there's a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua by Shem Echad, there's also going to be a debate by Shnei Shemos as well. And what Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri are saying is that no, if it's Shem Echad, kule ama, everyone's going to agree that you would be chayv under those circumstances. Okay. That is all one approach to explain the Mishnah and the second layer of the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Shimon. All this to defend Shmuel, meaning the goal of the Gemara is to be defensive of the position of Shmuel, because Shmuel maintained that a Misasik, a classic Misasik, is Pater, according to everybody. Rava Amar, Rava will give a different defense on behalf of Shmuel. Rava Amar, Likta Mika Benayu. The issue was sequence. You went in there thinking to yourself that you were going to first do A and then B, and you go in and you reverse the order. You did exactly, well, not exactly. You did what you wanted to, but not exactly what you wanted to. You ended up getting A and B, but in the order that, not in the preferred order. And he says that's the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Shimons. The Hatanya, the Gemara says, and this is actually excellent shot. And again, in a case of classic Misasek, you'd be Pater. But this is not classic Misasek. Because over here, you did what you wanted to do, it just the order was out of order. Now, the gears of the Gemara over here are a little tricky. Either this case is that you had two candles which were lit, two lamps which were lit, or two lamps which were already extinguished. If I wanted to light one and by accident I lit the other, misasik, you're going to be pater. Lahadlik ulachabos, v'kiva v'hidlik. Now, let's say as follows. Let's say my two lamps, one was lit, the other was not lit. And I wanted to extinguish the lit one and light the non-lit one. And I wanted to do this on Shabbos. And now, Shogeg, right? I forgot it was Shabbos. And now what happens is as follows. The sequence went out of order, where my original intent, lahadlik ulachabos, that I first wanted to light and then extinguish. And then what I did is kiba v'hidlik. And then I extinguish and then first I lit. So this is a case of misasik, but a real subtlety. It's not the classic case of misasik. Classic case of misasik again, I was thinking to reach for this and by accident I reached for that. That's misasik. Here, the only disagreement between what I did and what my intention was just simply order. And so, I wanted to go first light one and extinguish the other, and it turns out that I did it in the reverse order. Now, neshima achas chayav, ushte neshimas pater. So if I did it with one neshima, then they're going to be chayav, and if I did it with two blows, so then I'm going to be pater. Now, admittedly, you got to be a little bit creative over here to come up with a scenario of how I can extinguish and light binishima achas. Now, if you want, by the way, just for a little bit of creativity, so they are lined up together, and the lit one is in front, and the non-lit one is behind it, and I blow hard enough so that the fire jumps from the lit one to the non-lit one, extinguishing and then igniting the other. Admittedly, that's a little creative. I'm sure if you try this at home, it'd be difficult. Okay, but we're just right now, obviously, we're interested more in the concepts than we are in the actual cases themselves. Now, the Gemara says, Nishima achas yud bichayv. Now, pshita is not obvious, ma'udetema. lo yisav v'machshavasa da'ad lahadlik mikarabai ulosof l'chabes v'chav v'maisa kiva v'sof hilik hu. So the Gemara says, well, aren't you going to be chayv? And the answer is, maybe not. Because maybe since you went out of order, so therefore you should be putter. So ve'ema putter. So the Gemara says, oh, wait a second. So you went out of order. So isn't that a form of misasik? So the Gemara says, kamashlan. Nehi dagdume lo makdim achorinami lo ma'acher. So the Gemara says, okay, but since you did it b'neshima achas, you did in that one action exactly what you wanted to do. It may not have gone down in the order that you wanted, but since it was in one action, we really can't say that the orders were reversed. Yeah. If it's shnei neshimos, if it's two breaths, so then we can literally talk about the order. You wanted this particular order, and you got in that particular order. One. So that's misasik. But if it's one breath, so you really can't say that the order was confused. Tana Rabbanan on the Gemara now is going to be discussing cases very similar to what we just discussed. Hachote gachalim b'shabbos, if a person were to shovel coals on Shabbos, chayev chatas. So you're chayev. Now, exactly what the context is while you're shoveling the coals. So obviously over here, not obviously, but you are intent on doing one of two possibilities, which is either you want the coals to ignite or you want the coals to diminish. It really depends on what the goal is. We're going to talk about what your goal was in just a moment. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, chayev shtayim. Mimnei shu mechabes al yonim mavir es hatachtonim. So the other Tana, let's call him, so many names here. Let's call him Rebbe Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok, says that you're chayv too. Because you're doing twofold. You are extinguishing the top ones and you're igniting the bottom ones. Okay. A little more clarification. Okay, ever make a fire? I've done so. More than once. Okay, the coals on the top obviously have a lot more oxygen, and they're going to be fueled by that oxygen, and they are going to ignite. The coals on the bottom, not so fast. What if I take a shovel and I flip it over? I flip over now where I have the hot glowing coals. By the way, glowing coals is fire, vis-a-vis Shabbos. I have the hot glowing coals on the top, and I have the coals on the bottom, which are not being fed with oxygen. And what happens if I take that pile and I just simply flip it over with a shovel? I invert it. So now what's going to happen is as follows. The hot glowing coals that are now on the bottom are going to be extinguished because basically I cut off the oxygen. The ones on the top, however, which are being fed by the ones on the bottom in terms of heat and the oxygen coming from the top, so the one on the top is going to be lit. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok says, that's exactly right. So in other words, what you did in turning over the coals, where the coals on the top were burning, were glowing hot, the coals on the bottom were not, and I flip it over, so I did two excellent shabbos. I did a kibui and I did a havara. I extinguished and I ignited. And so therefore you're going to be chayev shtayim. According to the Tanakam, you're only chayev achas. You're only chayev one. Now, but my iskinan. So the Gemara says, well, if that was your intention to do both, so then Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, perfect. Tanakama, don't get it. And according to the Tanakama, you should be chayev shtayim if that was your intention. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe your intention was just simply to ignite. Meaning, I wanted the coals on the bottom to ignite. So the Gemara says, my time at demand mechayev, tarte. Okay, but if you only was intent on doing one malacha, you know, in Shabbos, you're only going to be chayev with the malacha that you intended to do. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanin, Darmi Tavayu, Kugon, Shinizkav, Lechabas, Al Yonim, Kidei, Lahavir, Isa Tachtonim. So the Gemara says, okay, the case over here, super specific. Your kavana was to extinguish the top ones, in order so that the bottom ones will glow. As Rashi over here explains, we're talking about a blacksmith. The blacksmith, and I say Rashi, by the way, it's going to be in the Gemara in just a moment. The blacksmith over here needs to work with the coals, but not the hot embers. The hot embers are not helpful to him at this point in the work. Now, I have no experience with smithing, so really the truth of the matter is I'm fully reliant right now on Rashi's description, but it gets us through the Gemara. And what he wanted to do is that his kavana was to be mechaba the elyonos so that the lower ones would be ignited. Tanakama savar, kasavar mekaka bahavara pater. Now, this, as far as the havara is concerned, so this is a destructive act. Because he doesn't want the coals to be lit. For him right now, it is counterproductive for those coals to be lit. So for him, this is what's called mekalkel b'havara. So Tanakama is of the opinion that mekalkel b'havara does not bring about a liability, and therefore you're not going to be chayav karmen chatas on the havara. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzedek, Amar chayav. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzedek says that you're chayav. V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan benafach shanu. And Rav Yochanan says we're talking about a blacksmith. And so because of the blacksmith and what for him is constructive, and for him is counterproductive, so the ignition of the coals for him is going to be counterproductive. That's kilkul, and therefore kilkul b'havara is going to be pater. That's why, according to the Tanakama, you're going to be chayav one, not two. Now, all this works once you understand the context, and of course you have to subscribe to all the basic ideas of the lighting of the coals is counterproductive to what he wants to do right now. And when Rav Yirmiyah heard this pshat, now in our Gemara we have Rav Yochanan, but you know the shitak changes to Rav Yirmiyah. I'm Rav Yirmiyah, ad kan lo nizgal to taima shel halacha zu, up until now, in other words, without having the proper context, the blacksmith, the counterproductive nature of the lighting of the fire, he's like, I didn't understand this brisa. I kept saying over the brisa again and again. It's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. I didn't understand it. Now I understand it. Okay. Ami bar Avin v'Ravi Chanina bar Avin Dami Tavayu Kigon. Again, we're looking for more ways to explain the machlokas. I took a pile of coal. The top coals were ignited. The bomb coals were extinguished. And I flip it over. And the machlokas between the Tanaim, whether I have one carbon chattis or two carbon chattises. And so one way we explained it is, it was kilkul behavara. That was the first way we explained it. The Gemara is going to give three other ways to explain this machlokas. Kigon shenizkavim lechabos ulehavir. You want to do kibui and havara. Tanakama sarva laka Rav Yossi damar havara lav yatzav. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzedek sarva laka Rabbi Nasan damar havara lechalek yatzas. Second way to explain the machlokas takes us to a fundamental debate that we've seen already numerous times. And that is lighting a fire in Shabbos. Is that classic Chilul Shabbos or is that just a lav? Rav Yossi is of the opinion that it's just a lav and it's not a classic Malacha Shabbos where it would be a skila punishment. Why? Because of all the 39 malachas in the Torah, the one that the Torah articulates is Lo Sivaru Esh B'chol Moshvo Sechem. Rav Yossi says that it's Lelav Yatzas. The reason why the Torah specifies that one is because that's different than all the other malachos. All the other malachos is Chilul Shabbos with an own shkila and a carbon chatzis requirement of damas shogeg. But meanwhile, when it comes to havara, according to Rav Yossi, it's only a lav. I say only a lav. Obviously, I mean in relative terms. It's only a lav. And so therefore, for the havara, you're not going to be chayav carbon chatzis because it's only a lav. For the kibui, you are going to be chayav carbon chatzis. How ironic, by the way, that it comes out now that the malach of kibui regarding onshin is going to be more severe within according to Rav Yossi than that of the malach of havara. But fine, but it's a wonderful way now to explain the machlokas. So the Tanakhama says you're chayv one carbon chatzis because you're not going to be chayv carbon chatzis on the havara. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, so he says you are going to be chayv carbon chatzis because havara is the standard malacha. Then why did the Torah say lo savaru ish b'chol moshvo seichem lechalek to separate each malacha? Rav Amar lahakdim ika beinayu. Rava says that the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Lazar Rav Tzadok, this is now our third pshat in the machlokas, is a question of hakdama. Which one did I want to do first, and did it actually match the order in which I wanted it? And so therefore we have a machlokas in terms of whether or not you have two carbon chatzis or one carbon chatzis. Rav Ashi Amar Kigon Shin Iskav Lechabos Vehuvaro Me'aleim. Your real kavana was extinguishing in terms of the flame that happened on its own. Tanakama Savala Karabi Shimon Dama Davish and Miskavin Potter, Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Tzadok Savala Karabi Yehuda Dama Davish and Miskavin Chayev. And so, and now the classic question of it's a Davish and Miskavin, are you Chayev, are you Potter? It's the Machlokis HaTanayim, and that could be our Machlokis over here. And one final pshat, and that's, that was the final pshat, sorry. That was number four. Tanu Rabbanan Chotek Achalim V'Shabbos Lizchamein Bahem. So let's say you shovel coals because you want the heat in the house to go to a different location. And now, as you move the coals to a new location, huv arum me'alehem. So they ignited, but on their own. So tini chadachai v'tini idach pater. So we have competing brises on whether or not this is a chiyuv chatas or your pater from a carbon chatas. No, so the Gemara is going to explain. Now, over here, the Gemara describes this with the terms of Malach Hashem Srich Lagufa. Malach Hashem Srich Lagufa classically, obviously this is an extraordinarily longer discussion, but malacha shein tzrich legufa means that I'm doing the malacha, but not for original intent, not for original purpose. Original purpose is the way it's done in the Mishkan. I'm doing it for a different reason. So that is what's called the malacha shein tzrich legufa. Under those circumstances, are you chayv or you pater? Machlokes atanayim, and that explains the two brisas that qualify this scenario. Okay, I did that all way too quickly. Hadron Safech Achal Chalev, that is the end of the fourth parak of the Masechta, recapping. Our bigger discussion today, really big discussion today, is the topic of Misasek. Misasek is Pater. The scope of Misasek, the parameters of Misasek, was today's daf. Today's daf is really the prime location in Shas that discusses the scope of the topic of the issue of Misasek. Then, afterwards, we talked about other forms of misasik. Misasik in terms of kedima, where I went wrong in terms of agreement of my mind, and what I did is I went out of order. Is that going to be an issue of misasik? That was it could be subject to machlokas atanaim. It could very well be the very machlokas in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Shimon's. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. We then went on to explore scenarios in which you went out of order. Are you going to be chayv? Are you going to be pater? We talked about having two lamps in front of you, one lit and the other not lit, and I wanted to extinguish the lit one and ignite the extinguished one, and I did it out of order. We made a distinction, Nishima Achish and Nishimos, but again, it all ties into the topic of Misasek. We turn the coals upside down so that the top coals which were ignited or extinguished, the bottom ones are going to be ignited. So under those circumstances, your Chayv HaKarbon HaChatzos 1 or 2, Machlokes HaTanayim. The Gemara gave four different ways to explain that Machlokes HaTanayim. And finally, moving coals around on Shabbos, I mean the coals are Muktzah, but we're just discussing it in the terms of a Karbon HaChatzos requirement. Mm-hmm. So are you going to be Chayv HaKarbon HaChatzos? That too is a Machlokes HaTanayim. The Gemara roots that in the Machlokes of a Malacha Shein Tzrich LeGufa.